the iron, you know, the burning iron ground and so forth in the heaven. It's nobody, no one else creating that. So that's all about the etymology. And next, you know, the fourth point is the object of sorry, the mode of observing the objects. So how do they observe the objects? So the knowable objects, this is the division, the true division of the knowable objects, the ultimate truth and the conventional truth. So these two truths, you know, the ultimate truth and conventional truth, are asserted by, you know, all the Buddhist schools. You know, like Vaibhashika says there are two, Sotantika says there are two, and even the non-Buddhist schools, there are some non-Buddhist schools who also assert all the phenomena or knowable objects, you know, to be divided into ultimate truth or conventional truth.
Oh yeah. Tati nani ravachik shara mawe dhambanyi jani ta sozo tseni jayoni chik ravachik kyanan che yonde rahanzime luyen dodoate kundo dhambare kyanan che nai rahanzime luyen mandorwe chik jaya chik yore te yani dhanda dhambare yasi lawe yonza ta te chik sem zambadan dode bando su ma kundu jatana ta wiyene chik te rakwa shivoshik le lawa shivoshik ane
the ultimate truth and the conventional truth asserted by or defined by, you know, the other school, of course they define, you know, each of them define or describe in a different way. So the Vaibhashika, you know, what they said is that the mind apprehending the object, when it is, you know, when it meets with the condition is destroyed, then the object, object apprehending that mind will be destroyed, will be no longer there. So such is the definition or the description, you know, of the conventional truth. And that which remains even after, you know, after meeting with the condition, the object has been destroyed, still there is a mind apprehending that object. Right? So that is the description or, you know, the definition of the ultimate truth, you know, according to the Vaibhashika school. So that kind of definition or, you know, description, according to the Chittamatic school or Madhyamika school, is very, very, you know, very, very gross or very easy to, you know, very, very easy to understand. You know, it's not very profound.
That is you, Lani, no, Devi Karsana, otherwise.
And then Sautantika school, you know, it says the ultimate truth is something that comes into existence by depending on cause and condition. Right? So anything that comes into existence by dependent cause and condition is ultimate truth. And then that, you know, which doesn't have to depend on cause and condition for its existence, you know, is a conventional truth. Mm-hmm. So according to the Sautantika school, that's the description or, you know, definition of the ultimate truth and the conventional truth. And so even that, you know, seems to be so gross or, you know, easy. And easy for Chittamati and the higher schools of the thought, and so for them it seems like it is not, you know, they are still not very, you know, not able to really, you know, describe the meaning of the ultimate and conventional truth.
Mm-hmm. 어떤데게 차례 자용디 아니 도데발레탄 자세 대표의 초도 좀 야보 차용 거레스
and so for us so according to the Chittam Martin school under the mind only school when it says when it describes the ultimate truth this is ultimate truth is a thing or object that is perceived by the mind of the Arya beings or the superior beings who realizes emptiness. The mind that realizes emptiness, the object perceived by object which is the permanent, non-compounded phenomenon, and that is perceived by the mind of the Arya being that realizes emptiness. So that is the meaning of this definition. This definition, that's the meaning. Just kidding. That's the meaning of this is what it means, you know. So that, it says here, definition of the ultimate truth is that which is realized by means of a valid direct perceiver that realizes it clearly without dualistic appearance. And so it says that. So I said, mentioned earlier, the object, so whichever object or whatever, you know, the thing that is perceived, you know, by, that's been perceived. So, so he says the valid direct perceiver, So the object, you know, that which is object has to be permanent, it has to be a non-compounded phenomenon, and it has to be perceived directly by the, you know, by the mind of the Arya beings, which realizes emptiness, right? So, so therefore that, it has to be only emptiness, right? So that which is, you know, which is realized by the means of direct perceiver, that realizes clearly without dualistic appearance. Yeah, so, usually, you know, when you realize emptiness, it's not necessary to realize emptiness directly. So, but the mind which realizes emptiness directly, you know, when it's realizing the emptiness directly, it is only realizing emptiness. So nothing, no other object appears to its mind, right? To it, nothing, no other object appears to that subject or to that mind. Yeah. So therefore, I don't know if you understand that. Therefore, it's referring to, so the ultimate truth has to be emptiness. Mm. So it says here, the final truth, the ultimate truth, reality, element of the qualities, and final condition are mutually inclusive. So that means they are synonymous. So the meaning, you know, of the ultimate truth, the ultimate, you know, is referring to the mind of the Arya being that realizes emptiness directly. So the mind of the Arya beings, the mind of the Arya being which realizes the emptiness directly, you know, is the ultimate of the mind. You know, so there are many different kind of minds. So there is the ultimate of the mind, is the mind that realizes emptiness directly. And it's just the truth is that everything that is perceived or seen by that mind, which realizes emptiness, is the truth. It's truth. You know, so that's why it's called. So that which is so that object, you know, which is perceived by the mind that realizes emptiness directly, is called ultimate truth.
Mm-hmm.